I encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to focus in on one verse. Then I'm going to give you a very quick synopsis of 2 Peter chapter 3 and what is shared there that leads Peter to say what he says in verse 18. I want to read verse 18, but grow in grace. Literally translated, be growing in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for this new day. We thank You for 2023 and the possibilities and opportunities that lie before us. But I pray that we might take the simple truths of Your Word and apply them consistently in this new year. So many times, Father, we hear things from Your Word and they kind of roll off of us like water off of a duck's back. It never seems to take root. And as a result, we don't grow as we should. And so, Father, I pray that You would do a work in our hearts and lives today as we consider this theme of be growing in grace. For I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, one of the themes of 1 Peter and 2 Peter is the grace of God. 10 times that word is used. And the top word that's used in both of the epistles is knowledge. And both of these are mentioned at the beginning of 2 Peter and at the end. If you look over at the first chapter in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the what of God? The knowledge of God. Of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so we begin with grace and knowledge, and we end the epistle with grace and knowledge. And the encouragement that's given to us is to be growing, to be growing. And we're going to look at that this morning, growing in grace and in knowledge. And I pray that this year, these two words, grace and knowledge, will be a focal point of your heart and life as you live each day that God gives to us. Be growing. Be growing. But what brings Peter to this place of saying, be growing in grace and in knowledge? Well, how does he begin this particular chapter? Well, he says, this second epistle, verse 1 of chapter 3, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, now what are they saying, these scoffers of the last day? They're saying this, where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise? Now think with me for just a moment. Not just the fact that the second coming hasn't happened yet, but where is the promise located? It's a questioning of God's Word. Don't miss that in this statement. Where is the promise of His coming? I see no promise of His coming in the Bible. I'm here to tell you that those who do not believe that the Word of God says He's coming again are scoffers. And then in verse 5 it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. So not only do they scoff at the truth, but they're willfully ignorant of the truth. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. You know what that's a reminder of? God doesn't work on your timepiece. Boy, sometimes, I just wish things would happen a lot faster, right? Boy, whenever I graduated from college and I went to all these weddings, and I was watching my class get married, I was watching my college friends get married, and I said, Lord, When am I going to get married? And the Lord said, you're going to have to wait a while. I had to wait 5 years. Well, that's a terribly long time, I know. But when you're 23 and everybody else is getting married and all you do is show up as the bachelor while you're watching all your friends get married, you know, it kind of stings a little bit. And I said, Lord, but you know what? God had the perfect one for me. I just had to wait. You see, God doesn't work on our timepiece. Be reminded of this in 2023. That God doesn't work on your clock. God doesn't work on your prayer, on your timing. You remember Daniel in chapter 10? That he had prayed for a very long time for an answer to understand what God was doing. And then he finds out when the answer is delivered, the angel says to Daniel, this was sent a month ago, but I had a battle to fight on the delivery of this message to you. You don't understand what's going on in the darkness of this world. There's a battle going on, folks. God doesn't work on your timepiece. He works on His. One day with the Lord is as what? Say it. 1,000 years. How many of you have lived to be 1,000 years? Do you know that no earthly man has ever lived 1,000 years? The closest was Methuselah, and he died at 967 years. Adam made it to 910. But no man has lived 1,000 years. One day with the Lord is that. He's not bound by time, amen? That's a lesson that needs to be learned. But I want to make a point here concerning where Peter is going here. He says, we're looking for, verse 12, and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're all looking for that day, amen? But what about in between? That day hasn't come yet. The Lord hasn't come. The elements have not melted with fervent heat yet. We don't live in a new world, which is quite evident. So what do we do? Well, look down. Ye therefore, verse 17, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, be on the alert. Be on guard. Don't fall. Don't fall for the lies and deception of the false teachers that were warned about in the early verses of chapter 3. Don't fall. But then, what are we to do positively? But, notice this, be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. Grow. Oh, how we need to grow. I brought along some things this morning that some of you have been probably looking at and said, what in the world is going on here? This is not laundry detergent. All right? I didn't bring it so I could do my laundry today at church. This is Miracle-Gro, for those that can't see this far. Miracle-Gro. Does anybody know what Miracle-Gro produces? Fertilizer. This is my little container that I keep for plants around the church here. And I'll go and I'll fill up my little cup and I'll put it down there. And they say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you very much. I've been working out here on that lily that we have out front there. That was from Gator Farrington's funeral. I've been nursing it now since 2015 when he passed away. And it was root bound. So I went and got a bigger pot and I transformed it by cutting up those roots. And I did this. Over a 3-day period, I doused it. It's starting to come back. It's been shooting up. And the leaves are actually starting to turn green instead of yellow. It needed help. Now this word grow, and I want to get into this with you, is an interesting word. God has told us that we need to grow in two areas. Say them. Grace and knowledge. All right, we got that down. Grace is a field study in God's goodness. And we need to grow in it. We are to be growing in grace. That is, we are becoming what God's grace produces in us, namely graciousness. Graciousness. I think sometimes we forget. I'm not forgetting about this right here. I'm going to talk about Miracle-Gro here in just a moment, because God has some for you. All right? But grace has a product. Don't ever forget this. Sometimes we kind of isolate grace as only what God gives us that we cannot get ourselves. But God's told us that we're to grow in His grace. Now, what does that mean? That means grace is to be growing in my Christian life and producing itself, which flows out to others in the form of graciousness. By the way, isn't that what God's been toward us? He has exhibited graciousness to us. He didn't have to, but He chose to do so. And we're the beneficiary of that. And we are to be growing in it so that we're producing. When is a plant successful? Oh, when it's pretty and green. I've got this nice little plant that sits on Eva's work desk. And I don't know when she got it, but it's been there for a while. It's an evergreen. So all months of the year, it's just like this. All right? It looks good, and Pop waters it. And we put a little fertilizer in there, some Miracle-Gro, and it's looking pretty good. All right? It has everything it needs to be successful. There's soil. There's water, fertilizer, air, light, everything that it needs to grow. I'm going to put it down right here so I don't injure it in any way. Now, when does a plant become successful? You ever thought about that? Said, Pastor Brainerd, the last thing on my mind is what makes a plant successful. I don't have a green thumb, so I'm not really interested in that. But it's important. Because you benefit from it every time you go to Winn-Dixie or Publix or Food Outlet. All right? You benefit from successful plants. When you walk into the vegetable section, they used to have at Winn-Dixie, when you walked in there, remember the thunder and the lightning, the sound that used to walk in? And you would walk in and all of a sudden, it'd make that sound, and all of a sudden the spray nozzles went off and you got soaked while you were getting your broccoli. All right? And it would rain out the water on the fresh vegetables. It doesn't do that anymore because people complained about getting wet when they were trying to shop. So they shut off the water, they shut off the thunder and the lightning, and so you just have to imagine it now, all right? But you look at that wide array of vegetables that are there. I mean, you see the product of a, say it please, plant. All right, stay with me now, don't fall asleep. I got Eutychus here today with us. He's already starting to nod off. But it's a product of a plant. Coconut, tomato, all right, celery, broccoli. Go down the list of all your favorite vegetables. Spinach. Is that on your favorite list? Maybe not. I don't know. Let us go down the list of all that. It's the product of a successful plant. All right? But what went into that plant? Sunlight, oxygen, a farmer that was out there tilling the ground, keeping the weeds out, making sure that there was plenty of fertilizer to make sure we got. In other words, this is my point. Everything that was needed to grow and produce was given to the plant. That's in the word grow in our Bible. It means to make to grow. To make to grow. In other words, you don't cut any corners. You give it everything that you need. Now, I grew up. My dad had Miracle-Gro. That was just a phrase that was in our house all the time, Miracle-Gro. Dad would go out there and he would take the mixture and he'd mix it in his water. I can remember those five-gallon buckets sitting out there in the tomato patch with the blue colored water where he'd already mixed up his Miracle-Gro, and he would dip it down in there and he would go and he would give it to each one of the tomato plants. And we got the benefit of all Pop's work. Because when we sat down and we made us a hamburger with those big old tomatoes that Pop had grown in his garden, oh, it was so good. How many of you love tomatoes? All right. How many of you like fried green tomatoes? All right. If you're in the South, you know what that is. If you're up North, you have no idea what I just talked about. But fried green tomatoes was a staple when we were growing up. And I remember my mom fixing those things. Oh, they were so, they start out hard, but when you're done cooking, they're good, especially with a little bit of flour and seasoning on them. Woo, it's good stuff. But all that benefit came from those plants getting what they needed. Water, fertilizer, air, sun, rich soil, whatever was needed. So God has given to us, you and me, this morning, if we're believers in Christ, He's given to you everything you need to do what? Grow. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you growing? Are you growing? Yeah, I've been growing this week. Whew. Yeah. A lot of turkey and ham and all the fixings. I've been growing. I told the guys last night, we were all telling our weights at the table. And I said, I weigh 165. And then Michael went and got the scale. And we found out some were close and some were, and I was one that found out I was a little bit further away from 165, which I weighed before Thanksgiving, which was the last time I weighed myself. And I ended up 173. Matter of fact, Michael and I weigh almost identical. And he's a foot taller than I am. So that means I got to do what? I got to stop growing this way. But I got to keep growing in grace and in knowledge because God's given me everything I need to grow in His grace. Now, I want to focus on something in this idea of growing in grace because I don't want you to miss this morning. We're to be growing in grace, that is, in the gift or blessing brought to us by Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to grow in that. But what does that look like? I've got some beautiful pictures of seeds and all various things. Doesn't that look pretty? Wouldn't you like to be able to grow beans that look that nice? But when you're out in the elements, sometimes they don't look that pretty. Grace. The free extension of oneself to share a divine benefit which in turn reproduces itself in the recipient of that grace. The key is reproduction. God wants His grace reproduced in your life. It's not enough to talk about grace. It must be reproduced in your life. If you go back to the first chapter of 2 Peter, it talks about grace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we come to chapter 3. But be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This production of grace is so important. Not only must our relationship to God be right through His grace when we get saved, we're brought into a new relationship. Amen? I'm made right with God. Not because of my righteousness, but because of the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm made right with Him, and that gift is a free gift of His righteousness. A free gift of His grace. But it doesn't stop there, Christian. What happens next? That grace, therefore, is reproduced in my life in the form of graciousness. And that latter part of this phrase here that I share with you brings that out. But the external expression of that relationship must be right because of His grace. We're made right by His grace, but we are to be reproducing His grace, the work of His righteousness in my life through His grace. Now, this thought is so important, and I hope I can get it across. Growing in God's grace is not the accumulation of facts and information about the Lord Jesus. Can we stop right here for just a moment? Most people are satisfied with that. Just knowing a lot of facts about Jesus so they can act like some kind of a trivia machine, that Trivial Pursuit, can answer all the questions about Jesus. That's not good enough. God didn't call us just to memorize a bunch of facts about Jesus. What did He do? He saved us by His grace so that His grace could be reproduced in our heart and life in the form of graciousness. And I want to focus on that in the next few minutes. I was thinking about this in regard to how we live our lives before others. What does our lives look like when people are asked questions about us? What do they answer? Oh, you don't want to cross them. Boy, they'll eat you alive. Or maybe, oh man, they're the sweetest person you'd ever want to meet. Or maybe it's, boy, they're someone that can be trusted. They're faithful. They're loyal. They can be trusted. You can go down the list of all the possible things that could be said about your personality and about your character. We need to be thinking about this in regard to, am I producing graciousness in my life to show that I'm a beneficiary of God's grace? If this plant right here, it's got a little bit of yellow here. This is new growth, right? Our desire is it's going to turn this color right here once it gets set. So to make sure of that, we get out the Miracle-Gro. Now what is this in the spiritual realm? You can't go to Walmart and buy spiritual Miracle-Gro. You can look for it on the shelves, but you won't find it. What is our spiritual Miracle-Gro? It's the blessed Word of God through the power of God's Spirit that gives us everything we know. If you're not studying God's Word, you're not reading God's Word, you're not feeding on the Word, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to take the Word and apply it to your heart and life, you're missing something. You're missing the Miracle-Gro of your spiritual life. And what will happen is you'll start showing signs that you're not healthy. You're not healthy. Everybody's wanting to be healthy now. We're in a new year. We didn't want to be healthy on Christmas Day, right? And we proved it as we were shoveling down pecan pie and pumpkin pie and all the different things. I mean, we weren't the least bit interested, but this morning on television, every news media, they were showing the exercises for 2023. How many of you saw those this morning? I got tired just watching them. They had somebody on there who was an exercise guru, and they were showing all the different things you do, and jumping and moving and all that kind of stuff. Getting healthy in 2023. How long is that going to last? All right, as about as long as the clip on the news thing. Everybody gets excited about exercise, so forth like that, but we just don't have a lot of willpower to do it. And what happens when we don't exercise? It begins to show. We can't get through the day. We're dragging around. We're sleepy all the time. We just don't have the energy that we need to be able to do what we're supposed to do. And a plant, they don't walk anywhere. At least I hope they don't. A plant stays right. This plant has been, this is the furthest it's been in 3 years. It went from the office out here. All right? And I had to move it. Plants don't do anything but go upward and outward. And it can tell me whether it's healthy or not. It can tell me when it's root bound. You got too small of a container, and then the roots start growing in a circle. And before long, all the soil is absorbed by the root system. And the next thing you know, you got an unhealthy plant. Yellow leaves, things are drooping. It's not getting what it needs. And so you put the right kind of soil in there, get a bigger pot, cut up the roots, get it going, and then it starts feeling healthy again as you fertilize it and put all the things that it needs. But it will tell you when it's not healthy. And by the way, Christian, you will show when you're not spiritually healthy. You'll show when you're not spiritually healthy. I've been around a long time. I've been in ministry now 36 years, and I've watched individuals who looked like they were strong and healthy, and then they got crossways with the teaching of God's Word. They didn't like what they were hearing, and the next thing you know, they get weak and weak and weak, and then they start complaining and so forth like that, and then they want to move somewhere else, and they'll go find some place where they are happy. But you always notice it's always some place that doesn't teach the Word of God quite powerfully enough, or they don't want to know what God has to say. They just like this about the church, or they like that about the church. How many programs do you have? What special things do you have going on? No mention of what kind of a preacher of the word. We're not asking those kind of questions. We're asking things that are peripheral, that have nothing to do with spiritual growth. God wants us to grow. And He supplied everything that we need to grow. The question is, are we going to let God do His fertilizing? Are we going to let God break up the roots from time to time? Are we going to let God trim? My dad just got finished doing all the crepe myrtles out front. And he was out there trimming a few weeks ago and cutting all those things. He's been doing that for years. He took over when Dr. Hobbs passed away. Dad took over that, and he's been doing it now for 16 years. And trimming those things down because we're getting ready for this year. And crepe myrtles don't start blooming until late May, early June in this area. But what is it? It's the anticipation. You don't trim, you don't cut back on a crepe myrtle, they don't produce the blooms. It's sporadic blooms. You'll have a lot of wild growth. All the energy goes into that wild growth, and it doesn't go into bloom making. Again, how is a plant successful? It reproduces after its kind. My next door neighbor has a beautiful Satsuma orange tree, and it is loaded. But guess what happened a week ago? 18 degrees. She didn't have a big enough sheet to go over the Satsuma tree, and every one of those oranges froze. They look really good, but you can't eat them now. They're ruined. I pull into my yard, and I look at that tree. As I pull into my yard, there's that tree loaded with oranges, but it's too late. They got frozen, and they're no good. But that tree is reproducing. It's reproducing after its kind. Are you reproducing grace in your life this morning? What does that look like? I want us to focus here on that thought as we finish up this morning. What does it look like? The day-by-day transformation of your life by the grace of God. What does that look like? Well, it looks like growth in God's Word. Growth in grace and growth in knowledge of God's Word. That's what it looks like. Now, I want us to think for just a moment about growing in grace. Grace is such an important word in the Christian vocabulary, and it's much bigger than many understand. Grace is that which God gives to the human race, and especially to His children, those things which cannot be obtained any other way. You can't get it any other way but through Him. But grace is a product in the life. Let me just give you an illustration. Back in 2018, they lowered the water in what was a moat around Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire in England. It's a World Heritage Site, and it's known as the Grand Bridge that goes over the moat. And the architecture has been covered up because of all the silt that's moved in over the years, has raised the water level and covered up much of the architecture. So in 2018, they went in there and they pumped all the water out of the moat, and it revealed all kinds of things. There were antique automobiles that were down in the thing from the 19-teens that had gone over the edge of the thing, people learning how to drive. And they went over the edge, they found an old Rolls Royce down in there, and they found wagon parts, and they found all kinds of things. But what else they found were 30 rooms built into the bridge, each one with fireplaces and chimneys, each one of them with inscriptions from people that lived in the 1700s and the early 1800s, and the architecture inside those rooms was unbelievable. Cornices and beautiful styling of that in a bridge. They went in and they cleaned and got it all done. They're not going to raise the water back up to the levels that it was before, but for the first time in 170 years, they saw all these 30 rooms inside the Grand Bridge, and then they understood why it was called the Grand Bridge, because it was absolutely beautiful, built in 1716. Just unbelievable. Chandeliers that used to hang inside those rooms, all that stuff had been rusted away, and and so forth, where they hung the oil lamps that used to be in there. All that was gone because of the water that it had sat in for all those years. But one of the things that's caught me was a statement made by a historian that came and visited the work that was going on in the renovation. The architecture of the Grand Bridge and these 30 rooms built within the walls have that rare quality of, anybody think about what word is going to be used there? Grace. I said, that's a striking word to use. A rare quality of grace found so often in the older architecture but seldom seen in the new. Some of you are familiar with the story that's found in the book Christie. It was written way back in 1966. And it tells the story of a young teacher who comes to a community in Cutter Gap in the Appalachian Mountains, 1912. And many of you probably have watched the old show Christie, which was made from the novel, and so forth like that. But Christie describes, when she comes to the community, the cabin that she's given to live in. And this is what she said. Having beauty, warmth, dignity, and grace, I absolutely love it. Somebody had crafted a cabin in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains and put some special architecture into it, and she said it was so warm when I walked in, the fireplace was going. And the beauty of the carvings that were on the walls and the paintings that were on the walls, she said it was just absolutely warmth, it was dignity, and it was grace. Now we use these words to describe architecture, buildings, paintings, but I wonder if it can be used to describe your life before others. When people think of you, does that word come to mind? Or are we a little rough around the edges? Now, we all have not come into fruition as to what we are going to be. I understand that and know that. But when we get to heaven, we won't recognize each other. You know, the grumps will all be gone. And the sourpuss faces will all be gone because we're going to be eternally happy in the presence of the Lord. We are going to look like grace. Graciousness. I think it's important that we understand that grace is a product of the molding and refining influences of the Holy Spirit of God as He chisels away, as He does His work of beautifying our lives. Because I want you to know something, we all need to be beautified. And I'm not talking about spending more time in front of the mirror in 2023. All right? That's just peripheral, and it's going to change. I look a lot different. The kids all got albums from their grandmother that she worked on for the last 3 years, assembling pictures of every one of the grandkids that she had taken through the years and put them all in a book to give to them for Christmas this year. And I was going through there, and I said, "Who's that man?" "That's you, Dad." "And what? I mean, brown hair? I haven't seen brown hair in 30 years. And I was a little bit bigger then. Shouldn't have been, but I was. And I was kind of stunned. I had big old glasses on I used to wear. Now I don't need them anymore. But I was looking at this. I said, "Boy, we have changed. Dad, who's that?" "That's Jonathan." "Dad, I was a fat little baby." And I said, "Yes, you were. But now you're not. Praise the Lord." You know, we look different as we what? Grow up. God wants us to look different each day as we progress in our walk with Him. He wants us to express graciousness. How do you talk to people? How do you act around people? What do you communicate with how you act around individuals? It speaks volumes as to what grace has been built into your life, how you've grown. And perhaps this year we need more fertilizer from the Word of God. Or perhaps we need a greater work of the Holy Spirit as He trims and works on us to take away the things that are not becoming as a Christian. But you have to submit. You know, a plant has no power to keep me from trimming away yellowness on its leaves. A plant's completely submissive. The plant doesn't scoot out of the way when I come with my fertilizer and we get into a big fight and I have to punch it down. Stay put! I gotta give you the fertilizer! No! A plant is submissive to the work that's being done by the person that loves seeing the plant. Do I hear an amen? Can you make the jump now over to the spiritual realm? Are you submitted to God's Holy Spirit so He can apply the fertilizer or maybe pull out the trimmers? Oh, we don't like that. But you see, God has to prune sometimes. In the book of John, it says that He prunes so it will bear more fruit, and even uses the expression much fruit. Has to do that sometimes. You have to submit to that. You see, there's a difference between plants and humans. We have a will. We have a will. And God wants us to grow, be growing in grace and knowledge. Knowledge, again, is one of those words that's used many times by Peter in 1st and 2nd Peter. We need to be growing in knowledge. Knowledge of whom? Not facts and figures about our Lord, but knowing Him personally. And that's brought out here in this passage of Scripture. As we grow in grace and knowledge, we are experiencing His work in my life, because that's the word that's used for knowledge there. Genomai. It's the idea of understanding and experiencing the knowledge of God. It's not some sterile word in a dictionary. It's a reality of my experience. How many of you gave a present to a young child at this Christmas time? And to watch them beam. We watched the kids unwrap their gifts the other day. And just watching, you know, Roman and Cassie and Adrian and Preston as they were opening their gifts. A big facial expression. Wow, this is what I wanted all my life. You're two. Okay? But, you know, they have that expression. All right? And you open a present that is given to you by somebody else, and it was something that you really wanted to have. I got a book this Christmas that I really wanted to have. And I got two books, actually. And, you know, I wanted that book because I wanted to learn more on the subject of mudlarking. All right? And I got a book on mudlarking the River Thames. And it's on my bucket list. When they start reissuing permits again, I might just bite the bullet. And if I get my poor wife to fly with me, we'll go over there to London sometime, because I want to go out on that foreshore and I want to dig for all the things that are out. They find all kinds of Roman pottery and Roman coins and all that kind of stuff. That just gets me all excited because I love history. All right? Now, you know, when I open that book, I got it! All right? Now, we thrill with that. Let me tell you something. You need to be thrilled with the gift of grace that God has given to you. And you need to take it, and you need to be growing in it. But that means that you got to submit yourself to whatever work the Holy Spirit needs to do in your heart and life through the Word of God. You got to be in the Word. That's the fuel for the Holy Spirit. Whenever you're into the Word, the Holy Spirit comes to teach and to communicate and to help us grow. But if we don't get into the Word, the Holy Spirit's not going to have the mechanism, because He works through the Word to help us grow. Do you want God to take the miracle grow of His Word and do some work on you this year? This theme of growing in grace, and I'm going to develop it a little bit further in a future message about what does grace look like and graciousness. I'm going to get into that, because God has clearly shown that grace is not sterile. It's not just something we're given and we put it on the shelf like we do so many of our other Christmas gifts. You know what it does? It stimulates growth and produces itself in our lives, graciousness in how we deal with other people, how we communicate with other people, how we act around other people is a product of what word? Grace. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, there's so many things that we can learn, and Peter makes it very clear that in the midst of a world that has deceiving scoffers, people questioning the word of God, denying the existence of a promise of your coming, denying the truth of the word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ, that in the midst of all that, in the world in which we live, we're to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for another day in which to serve you and to bring glory to your precious name. I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, that grace would not just be another word that's found in the Christian's dictionary, but rather is an active element in our life that reproduces itself in graciousness. Just like you have expressed graciousness to us, we did not deserve to have your Son come and die on a tree and provide for us the gift of righteousness and then be resurrected in power to give us the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. We did not deserve it, but you gave it to us. And you expect a byproduct, a reproduction of that grace in our hearts and lives. And you've told us, be growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would work in a powerful way, that we would not be showing stunted growth, yellow leaves, not producing the fruit that you would have for us, not successful living the Christian life, but rather help us to have the bright green leaves of new growth because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.